last-minute travelers are coping with more... Blog
Talk Radio.
FlightAware reports more than 1,000 flight delays across the U.S. Around 180 flights have been scrubbed so far today. On Friday, Transportation Secretary Pete Buttigieg tweeted they'd be monitoring how airlines were performing throughout the weekend. From the nation's capital to San Diego, some of the biggest 4th of July fireworks displays are back to normal tonight. Michael Kastner reports.
For the first time since before the pandemic, fireworks at the National Mall event will feature musical performances on the West Lawn of the U.S. Capitol. Meanwhile, 3 million visitors are expected to descend on Harborfest in Boston. On the West Coast, Big Bay Boom is anticipated to draw up to 500,000 spectators in San Diego, California. I'm Michael Kastner.
Akron, Ohio is issuing a curfew for the downtown area following protests over the deadly officer-involved shooting of a black man. The curfew is for 9 o'clock tonight until 6 o'clock tomorrow morning. Protests over 25-year-old Jalen Walker's death were held for a fourth day yesterday. More protests are expected today. Ryan Lochte is auctioning off his Olympic medals. The swimmer is selling his 3 silver and 3 bronze medals. The Florida native says he's going to donate the proceeds to a charity that funds dream vacations for seriously ill children. You're listening to the latest on NBC News Radio.
My heart was racing just making spaghetti. I could have waited to tell my doctor, but I didn't wait.
I was short of breath just reading a book. I could have delayed telling my doctor, but I didn't wait.
They told their doctors and found out they have atrial fibrillation, a condition which makes it about 5 times more likely to have a stroke. If you have one or more of these symptoms, irregular heartbeat, heart racing, chest pain, shortness of breath, fatigue, or lightheadedness, this is no time to wait. Contact your doctor.
Brought to you by Bristol-Myers Squibb and Pfizer.
And now for your alternative talk with our outlook. For today, we'll have mostly cloudy skies throughout the day, giving us a high near 69 and southern winds around 6 miles per hour. Overnight, we'll enjoy the fireworks under mostly cloudy skies with a slight chance of showers and a low around 54. For tomorrow, looks like a partly sunny day, bringing us a high near 74 and a low around 58. And finally for Wednesday, a chance of scattered showers, otherwise mostly cloudy, high near 73.
The views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of KKNW, its management, or other advertisers. This program is sponsored by Dr. Pat Basile and Transformation Talk Radio.
You're listening to an encore presentation from the Transformation Talk Radio Network.
Hi, welcome. This is Dr. John DeMartini. This is one of the most amazing and inspiring shows that you can listen into. If you want to be on the edge of your seats, if you want to open up your heart, if you want to expand your mind, and you want to meet incredible people, stay tuned because you're just about to experience a transformative radio show that will change your life. And you're listening to the Dr. Pat Show that's coming up right next.
Welcome to the Dr. Pat Show. Talk radio to thrive by. Powerful, inspiring, and coming to you live, bringing you stories of people like you and me, busting through and living life full out. Get ready to dare to wonder what your life would be like if you knew you could not fail.
Hey, everybody. It's so great to have all of you tune us in and turn us on. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you for being you. Thank you for showing up today. Thank you so much for all of your support, and thank you for getting ready like we are for 2022. And that's why I love that we have set this up now to bring you people that are going to give us an update on where we were, where we are, and where we could go, how to raise your consciousness with my very special guest, Richard Lawrence. Now, Richard's been on my show before. He is a phenomenon. I'm just going to say that out of the gate. And what it is that I love about Richard and everything he's done, he was so far ahead of the curve at so many levels, even when I didn't even understand there were levels in my life. Like, what's a level? I don't know. But he's been out there on conversations for everything from UFOs to consciousness, but in a way where he has been on the pulse way before people even believed there was a pulse. Today, I'm excited to have him as somebody that has not only captivated people through his show, which we are honored to have that show on our network, but even more importantly, somebody that helps us understand that there are so many opportunities for us as individuals to take a shift, to move. You know, it's almost like we see the world and we see that there's a giant gap and we think if we cannot move our mind completely across the bridge, then we're not making progress. Today, what we're here to tell you is any shift, any movement, any healing, anything of positive energy nature is by its very essence a movement to higher consciousness. Richard, it's great to have you. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Gosh, I don't know what to say. That was so generous of you. And I just want to return that compliment because we are absolutely honored to be on Transformation Talk Radio with the Spiritual Freedom Show. We love being on Transformation Talk Radio, and we're getting a response from a lot of your listeners and people, and it's a real pleasure for us. So we go out, as you know, every first and third Saturday, and we're able to put out these concepts that aren't on many stations. I mean, I've done a lot of media work, as you know, and I'm sure you have too, in the so-called mainstream media, and I still do, especially on UFOs, but the kind of concepts we're able to put out on Transformation Talk Radio and one or two other networks is just, I think, I won't say unique because that's an overused word, but it just don't get really that easily. And to be in your company, Dr. Pat, is an honor and a pleasure. So thank you for inviting me.
You know, thank you for saying that because, you know, there is a special calling that all of us here have had for 20 years. And Benny and I have been together like almost the whole time. And
right. Benny is great. Benny is so
awesome.
Good.
Awesome.
Thank you very much. Appreciate that.
I wouldn't tell him. And, you know, and to be honest with you, he's had to really put up with me. And, you know, as I went...
I couldn't comment on that at all.
No.
I mean, to jump in here real fast, Pat, hang on. I mean, you know, having a relationship this long, there's going to be a couple bumps along the way. I mean, we all get it. We all get it. But I'm still here, and I love you.
Exactly, and I love you. Here's what I love about this. See, people see me today, and this is really why I wanted to talk to you about this, about positive energy and the journey.
Yeah.
Of raising consciousness.
Absolutely.
Because I didn't sign on for this in 2003, even close to what my passion and purpose was. The show wasn't called the Dr. Pat Show. I was so blocked in my life. The show was called Crust Busting. Like, we used a jackhammer to open the show up. Betty would pull out a jackhammer to open the show up. But along the way, it hit me hard. Positive energy is so instrumental in just about anything. So can you talk for a minute about the relationship between what you and I are calling positive energy? And I call it positive energy. Let me just tell you my perspective, Richard, and then I'll let you jump in.
Yeah, yeah.
Once upon a time, people looked at positive energy that only 1% of the population in the world exhibited and could model. For me, that spent a year on the couch, positive energy was literally being able to put the remote down, right?
Okay.
And it's a first step.
Mm-hmm.
But let's talk from your perspective. Every one of us has this switch we can turn on, right?
Yeah. Well, I mean, everyone, you know, the first book I wrote, actually, which is, it's not my best book, but it's my best-selling book, it's called Unlock Your Psychic Powers. And, you know, the premise of that, it was, as far as I was concerned, was that if I could do this, everybody can do this. And I want to say straight off the bat that, you know, you're kind enough to say I was, like, you know, pioneering various things. But I was very lucky to learn from someone who... was way ahead of his time. That's Dr. George King. And he was a master of yoga, but he, and I worked with him, and I wrote the last book he wrote was called Realize Your Inner Potential. And we've now kind of renamed it. He didn't, but since his passing, we've renamed it King Yoga. It's so distinctive, his whole brand of teaching. It incorporates some of the old yogas and also especially karma yoga. But coming to your point, yes, It's an enabler. Everyone can do it. I mean, we have actually, I don't run it myself, but we have a Facebook group called Awakening Through King Yoga. People can find it if they're interested. And all the people in that group, and it's a, kind of like a community, there's about 300 people in it, I think, at the moment. They gather together. They do practices taken from that book, Realize Your Inner Potential. They all have the book. And so they're working together in these various areas. And then they're sharing their experiences. Now, these are people who wouldn't have said, look, I'm a psychic, I'm a this, I'm a that, I'm a healer. They're so-called ordinary people, if such a thing exists. And they're coming together and having outstanding experiences. And, you know, they're reporting on their healing experiences. They're reporting on their psychic experiences. And they're sharing these. And as I say, it's open to absolutely everyone. You know, it's one way. It's not the only way. There are many ways to have these experiences, but we go back to a teaching which was delivered through Dr. King, not by him, but through him, from a being from another world. That's our controversial place. It's not so controversial anymore, actually,
right.
But it used to be controversial. And it's called the One Energy. And the essence of that is that there's only one energy in the universe. There isn't two. There isn't good energy, bad energy, middling energy, you know, upbeat energy and downbeat energy and calm energy. There is one energy. And you program it, you condition it with your mind, or we all do. And we're also subject to the mind belt of Earth. So, you know, conditioning is going on all the time through, mainstream media, through just people thinking. I mean, here's a liberating thought. If you're watching this show right now, and you're with us and you're thinking in a positive way with us, you are helping people all over the world. You're not just helping yourself. You're putting out. You're part of this. You're serving. You're not just developing yourself. You're serving others because you're adding to the positive reserve of mind energy, which can be drawn upon by everyone. If everybody just put out, you know, negative thoughts, basic thoughts, rage, aggression, jealousy into the mind belt, that's what would be readily accessible. And sometimes it is, sadly enough, in various places, even hate and so on. And if you take a situation we're doing a lot of work on at the moment, which is the Ukraine, you know, we sent out a lot of energy for this. Yeah. It's a very delicate situation because hundreds of thousands of people theoretically could die.
Yes, that's right.
If it went wrong. But, you know, it's all subject to the mindsets of the people, especially the people who make the decisions, of course, and who's programming those people with mental energy. And by sending out positive energy, you know, into the mind belt, we can all make a difference.
Yeah. You know, I love that you're talking about this because, you know, we as individuals sometimes feel a little bit hopeless and a lot of helpless.
Mm-hmm.
And we just don't understand the potentiality and the power.
Absolutely.
I'm so glad you brought up Dr. King because I am like a little bit old school in that I love his original on the impact, what's within, the power within.
Yes. Yes.
It is so absolutely a phenomenon that talks to the point for me about the capacity we've been given. For example, up here, what is it, 6 or 7 pounds? Maybe people have 8 pounds up there.
Mm.
And we are in the realm of a tiny percentage.
Absolutely.
Of its paper, like tiny.
A fraction.
A fraction. And most people actually don't know that. But if we were to follow you and to look at what we can do to expand these aspects that you're talking about today, that they don't teach you in school.
Right.
What happens is, and science now shows this, something gets sparked. So if you take Dr. King and that genius and you bring it to your work today about what you're doing to help us in contemporary times, this is something that we can not just draw positive energy from, Richard, but I'd love for you to talk about the power of visualization to create.
Absolutely. Visualization is a creative tool, and a lot of people teach it, and some teach it in a very positive manner, but you have to be careful. You know, I have to say that because some visualizations can be very well intended, but not necessarily helpful. And the reason being that what they mustn't be, or they, I won't say mustn't be, it's not for me to say that, but they I've advised against, is an escape. They shouldn't be a denial. They shouldn't be like, oh, actually, I'm not ill. I'm not. I don't have any problems. What you're instead of that, it's sowing positive seeds where you are well, where you are problem free. There is a subtle difference between the two. So you need to put out a visualization which is true. I mean, and you can use also affirmation, which goes hand in hand with visualization. So an affirmation would be a form of words, and you know, the very famous one, which I'm sure, as a doctor of psychology, you'll know backwards that, you know, every day and every way I'm getting better and better and better and better. But it really does work. Or you can go to the more spiritual end of things and have an affirmation. One of the ones that we have in Realize Your Inner Potential is a beautiful one, which I have used many times. And it's this: I am the divine presence which is creating perfection throughout my whole life. Now, if you know, it's a lot of people, if you said that to them, they say, well, you're an arrogant so-and-so. What are you talking about? But what you're doing, you're making a connection then with the part of you which does exist, which is a divine presence. I mean, the word divine, of course, has many connotations and sometimes pseudo-religious connotations or even actual religious connotations, and it can be tied up with dogmas and all sorts of problems. But in essence, we are all divine. We all have this divine essence which pervades the whole universe. The whole universe is conscious. It's a conscious universe. And astrophysicists are starting to discover that themselves now. The Earth has a consciousness. The planet has a consciousness. And, okay, last year was talking about what happened last year as to this year. We've talked about this before. Was an amazing year for UFOs, of course. I mean, not nearly good enough, but it was certainly a step in the right direction, let's put it that way. Also an amazing year for scientists saying, look, you can have life on planets, exoplanets. You don't have to have conditions as per this planet, which is what they used to say. You can find life in other forms, I would say, on other dimensions, never mind other physical conditions. But throughout all these realms, these levels, whatever you want to call these frequencies, there is consciousness pervading it all. So I'm afraid I've drifted quite a long way from your question there, Dr. Pat. But
You haven't drifted, because part of what we're talking about is what we're going to bridge to right now. Is that right? If we can recognize what you just said, and you're absolutely right about that Pentagon report. I mean, they even say in the Pentagon report, which is like a little line most people didn't read, which says, oh, we're only going to give you the information for this period. And so most of us that are reading it, we're like, okay, that's a good start. But what's wrong with the other information? And so we're learning. But our mainstream, and I would love for you to talk about this now, our mainstream is picking up on what you and I are talking about. How do we know that, Richard? Okay, I'm not a genius around this, but I get some clues. When you start to see in a mass media way, people call it our pop culture. I don't quite think it's that. But when you start seeing things in a mass media way show up and become available to the public and people plug into it, something shifts. Something has shifted. And what is that going to do? Well, it shifts because people, please comment on this when right now, people are hungry to heal. See, people say to me, no, they're not hungry to heal. They're hungry to make money. Yeah, they are. But if they're hungry to make money and they're not making money, they really want to heal the thing that's stopping them from being who and what they want to be. So let's talk about healing, because we know the power of remote healing. If we didn't, we wouldn't tell people to pray.
Indeed. And prayer does work. It really does work. And I think it's just a shame that people have been given such limited, and forgive me, I don't wish to offend anybody, but I would say such limited concepts of God in various forms that it sort of puts people off, frankly. And, you know, when, especially when you look at some of the old gods that are portrayed as in various cultures, be it Greek, be it some of the Hindu gods, be it some of the Roman, etc., they're given these characteristics that you wouldn't, you know, you wouldn't tolerate from an adolescent child, never mind a god, some of them. And so it just puts you off, I think. But God in itself is just a universal force. It's this one energy I spoke about. And it's behind even that one energy. And that's what you're looking to, really, when you, in my view, when you're really doing prayer. We do it through a thing called the 12 Blessings. And we have a site, 12blessings.org. And we use this pretty well every day. And people come together. They don't, you know, have to be members of the Aetherius Society, which I'm secretary of, at all. But they can come together and join in sending out prayer through the 12 blessings, and we'll target an area. Like right today, it might be, for example, the Ukraine situation, or it might be the terrible situation in Afghanistan. And one of the things I used to find when I started out, I mean, I was 23 when Dr. King wrote a book called You Too Can Heal. And he was a great master of yoga, Dr. George King, and of the old school. He'd come up through the old school. He'd spent 10 years in strict discipline, 8 hours a day on top of a job. So he didn't worry about time off, rest, leisure in his 20s or early 30s. He was totally focused on the yoga, and that's living in London, not in the Himalayas. But so he was the old school. But he firmly believed, in fact, he didn't believe, he knew that everyone can heal. So he published a book called You Too Can Heal. I remember it very well because I was sort of always around wherever he looked, there I was. So I was hanging around, you know. And he came over to England. He was English, but he lived in California at the time. But he came over to launch it here, and I was helping with this. And so I was going along and meeting quite a lot of healing groups and even giving talks, even as I say, I was only 23, to sort of healing groups of people in their 40s, 50s or older who'd been doing it for a long time. Very good people, by the way, wonderful people who just, well, you know, they didn't take money for it. They just wanted to go along, and they did heal people. And sometimes they got great results. Sometimes they didn't. But what they didn't believe was that everyone can do it. There was this elite view about it. You either got it or you haven't got it. And if you've got a gift from God or an angel's come to you, you can do it. If they haven't, you're just not a healer. Mm-hmm. And he broke that mold. And then that's individual healing, which everybody can do. And I do know you've asked me to give a visualization, which I will come back to, I promise you.
But all part of your, it's all part of your answer as well.
It is really.
Yeah, it is. Because if people go to your website, and I just gave it to Olivia to put on Facebook. And I want to make sure that everybody else has the website. Let me send it to Benny, too. They're going to see, well, first of all, they're going to see Dr. King. And you know that I commented on this last time we got together. I commented on the image of Dr. King next to this mountain. And back when we did this interview, what I said to you, and I think we even brought it up to compare, it was a television series that just had been launched, and, you know, COVID has slowed everything down. I don't know if it's going to come back or not. But there was a scene from it that was very close to identical. Why I'm bringing it up. I think that we are way more capable than we give ourselves credit for.
Way more capable.
And we don't understand the power of visualization. And this is where I'd like you to jump in.
Yeah.
Visualizing something that isn't positive, and we do it on every waking day. How many people wake up thinking, oh, my gosh, how am I going to pay my bills? I don't know if I'm going to get a job. I just found out my husband's cheating on me. I mean, waking up and going to bed, what if there was another option, right? And I'm not exempt from this. I mean, you don't have to have a big vision, but you have to have something to help you. Look, when I was homeless and I was dumpster diving, I would visualize that I would go to the, I didn't call it visualization, so sorry. I wasn't that smart at 17.
It doesn't matter.
But I would imagine, let me use the Einstein word, I would imagine that if I went down this alley, this is in New York now, and you got this alley, and it's, New York is full of alleys, and down this alley, I would imagine that because the storefront had a bunch of great stores, I would imagine walking down there and finding something to eat. I would imagine it so well that I would imagine exactly how the hot dog would look. I could almost taste it. Now, I'm not going to tell that story. I shared it the other day with someone. It's a longer story. But see, we've given this word visualization and have almost made it out of reach for people to understand that it's not that esoteric that we all have to be. And so talk about the power and the simplicity of our imagination, both good, bad, and ugly.
Yeah. Well, first of all, Dr. King used to say that every great achievement, if you want to be a great truck driver, used to say, and there's nothing wrong with being a great truck driver, I've got to say, somewhere down the line, you have to first visualize yourself being a great truck driver. The visualization comes first, whatever it is. So it's very important, I suppose, to make sure your visualizations are right. You know, you don't want to start visualizing something which is not right. And the one sort of golden rule is not to use visualization to control anybody else. And that's where I think, again, some people come cropper. So in other words, you want someone, let's give a silly example, to fall in love with you. You try to use your visualization to visualize them falling in love with you. You're starting to use your mind to try and control the behavior of another person. And that's where I think it's moving into what, let's just say, gray magic, if you like.
Yeah.
If you keep your visualizations purely to yourself and yourself attaining various things, there's nothing at all wrong with that, providing the motive is good. But where it's especially good is where you use it to help others. And, of course, karma being what it is, what goes around comes around. If you use your visualization to contact something which isn't imaginary, but it's real, and here I refer to, again, back to the one energy and back to healing, and, you know, once Dr. King had established, and it's now, I think, widely accepted, that everyone can heal, which it wasn't at the time.
Right.
And then he moved to the next stage, which is you're not just able to heal an individual, a loved one, you can make a difference in healing the world.
Mm.
Of course you can heal yourself as well. There's no limits to it at all. Then, you know, this, another great progression is made when you move to that step. So use your visualization in this case to visualize the energy. Now, the color that's used is used because that color contains, I want to stress this, all the colors of the spectrum. So that's why it tends to be white light that's used. It's not the only color that's used,
right,
but white light is a wonderful visualization. And you can make it more powerful still as a healer by using breathing exercises. Nothing complicated, nothing too strenuous. In fact, you shouldn't be too strenuous if you don't practice it regularly. But it's just the simple breath, the deep in-breath without any strain, and the deep out-breath. And while you breathe in, you visualize white light filling you. And while you breathe out, you feel cleansed. Now, that's a very simple, couldn't be simpler exercise, which really works. And I must say, I've taught people this, and we've all sat down and do it, in busy bookshops, you know, when doing a bookshop talk or something like that, you know, in the middle of London, in a place called Oxford Circus, for example, which is really busy, near the BBC. And people have just, you know, it's been rush hour, it's been busy, and they've sat down on chairs in a big bookstore, and they have done this. And I've asked people after a while, who feels at peace? And most of the hands go up, even though it's noisy, it's busy. So if you're a person, for example, who is stressed, so many people are in one way or another, and you haven't got enough calm energy in your life, just introducing breathing exercises into your life. And if you start with that one, just a long, deep in-breath, a long, deep out-breath, with the mouth closed, by the way, if you can.
Right. Thank you.
And if it helps, if you really want to go a bit further, it's to count, mentally count the in-breath and count the out-breath. So they're as equal as you can make them. And then just to put the extra ingredient into it, while you breathe in, visualize white light filling you. And sometimes you'll, with a bit of practice, you'll start to feel it for sure. Some people feel it straight away. If you don't worry. Just keep at it. Sometimes you'll see it. You'll see the color, the energy coming towards you. Either with you can even do this with your eyes closed and see it, or with your eyes open. It's because what you're visualizing there is something that's real. It's not an imaginary thing. In this particular case, it's not visualizing something that doesn't exist. You are making a connection with something that does exist, and it'll do many, many things for you. It'll magnetize you. It'll make you more dynamic. It can bring you peace with that even breath. So that you have balance between the in-breath and the out-breath. There's one very simple exercise using breathing, visualization, and then you can take that and use it in healing as well.
I love that you're talking about that. We're going to take a short break. For those of you just tuning in, you know, you're not going to want to miss any of what we're talking about, but I do want you to know how you can find out more about my very special guest today, the host of a fantastic show, on a mission for global consciousness. That's Richard Lawrence. Richard, what is the best way for people to reach you? I know we mentioned the 12blessings.org. So
yes. So 12blessings.org is where you can go. It's every day we're doing a service there. People can join in with. My website is just richardlawrence.co.uk. And you can come along, and there's various things, a lot about UFOs at the moment, but there's many things on it, even channeling and so on, and also information about Dr. George King. The other one I'd recommend is the organization I've been privileged to be secretary of. It's the oldest international UFO contact organization in the world, and that is Aetherius, AETHERIUS.org.
And so when we come back, we're going to talk about service, but we're going to talk about service and how we are being educated in the world now about what it is, what it means, and how so many in our mainstream have made us aware of service in ways we had not been aware in a really, really long time. When we come back, the energy of service is one of the most powerful energies, and it has no judgment. It's not like you're an emergency responder and you're not. It's not that. When we come back, what do you mean? What does it mean to be of service to others? Stay tuned, everybody. We'll be right back with my very special guest, Richard Lawrence, right here on the Dr. Pat Show.
Want to ignite your best life full of joy, passion, and purpose? Then join me, Stephanie James, for The Spark, Wednesday nights, 6 o'clock Pacific Time, 9 o'clock Eastern, on TransformationTalkRadio.com, and learn how together we can illuminate the world. Learn more on StephanieJames.world. The best is yet to come.
Champion Your Life with me, Leanne Champion, first and third Wednesdays at 1 p.m. Pacific Time on TransformationTalkRadio.com. That new gym membership might help you get fit, but what about emotional fitness? Jump into the rushing waters of personal growth. Don't waste another minute feeling unfulfilled. Visit championyourlife.com and let's do this together.
It's time to get your life back on Burn Bright Today with Jennifer Marcinelli. Tune in each month on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Learn to move from the darkness of burning out to the light of burning bright. Jennifer is redefining stress and the energetic causes of burnout, shining a light on process to get your life back. For more information about Jennifer and her work, visit BurnBrightToday.com.
Are you feeling lost in this journey we call life? When you awaken the truth of your patterns, limitations, and beliefs, you can start to heal relationship with yourself, others, and your circumstances. I'm Ritika Rose, life coach, author, and speaker. My mission is to help you align with your most powerful, authentic self and transform how you experience your inner and outer world. Find the confidence and peace to live the highest version of your life. Visit RitikaRose.com. Parenting isn't about perfection. I think we all know that. Parenting is about being present and honest, having compassion for your child and for yourself, communicating consciously and loving unconditionally. Tune in to the Awakened Parent Project with Susan Dolce every first and third Tuesday at noon Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Learn to be an empowered parent through the techniques of the conscious parenting community. To learn more about Susan, visit SusanDolce.com. Healing has a ripple effect. One person's healing affects everyone around them. This is where the power of sharing our stories can be so important. Tune in to Playing on the Edge Radio with Megan Edge each month on Transformation Talk Radio as Megan provides you with ways of sustaining radical and powerful changes in your life. Enact the power of radical change. To find out more about Megan Edge, visit her website at meganedge.ca.
You're listening to an encore presentation from the Transformation Talk Radio Network.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back. It's so great to have all of you tune us in and turn us on. I am so thrilled to have Richard Lawrence joining me here today. And again, if you want to find out more about Richard, go to Richard's website, richardlawrence.co.uk. Very easy. Check it out. Also, you'll be able to find more about his fabulous show that he does right here on Transformation Talk Radio. And that's on Saturdays, right, Richard?
That's right. So we go Saturday, I think it's Pacific time, 9 a.m., 12
yeah.
noon Eastern time.
Yep.
First and third Saturdays.
Yeah. And we replay it throughout the week. So for those of
you
out there,
good.
Yeah, we just want to make sure that everybody is aware of that. And it's called the Spiritual Freedom Show.
Spiritual Freedom Show, because it's
Got
based
it?
On the nine
yeah.
freedoms, which I just, it's
yeah.
my favorite thing. You know, and I'm a lover of many things, but
yeah.
this is my favorite thing.
I am too. Okay, I am really eager to talk to you about service. And Benny, we're not going to
yeah.
do another break, but I want to combine service and higher inspiration together in
Beautiful.
A conversation with you.
Beautiful.
Because when I became a person that was of a different level of service,
mm-hmm.
when I did that, something changed in me. You know, I moved
yeah.
to the Pacific Northwest. I didn't have a job. I thought I was going to go to school. I was rejected pretty much by every school.
Mm.
And something told me to volunteer at the Chicken Soup Brigade and make food
mm.
for people with AIDS.
Mm-hmm. All right.
What a gift that mm. was. Now, I had been a person of service throughout my life, but not in this way. It changed something in me, and I believe that that led me to what I do today. How
mm-hmm.
does service transform people and then transform the world?
It's a great quote from Albert Schweitzer. I can't remember the exact words, but he said, one thing I do know is the only thing people will be really happy are people who have found out their way to serve and are doing it, which of course he did. And he didn't do what he, because I used to grow up, my mother used to read to me The Life of Albert Schweitzer, so I remember from, you know, I was lying in bed listening to this every day. But he, you know, he didn't choose the things he was good at. He didn't choose the things he was interested in. He chose the things where he felt he could do the most good, and as people may know, became a doctor and he helped lepers and so forth. Finding the path that you believe you can do the most good through. And if you do that, I mean, I'm often asked, and it's interesting you tying this into inspiration and as you say, another level of service. And I'm often asked, especially more in the mainstream media, what would you say to people? Why would you suggest they do spiritual forms of service, such as healing, such as maybe teaching, such as sending out prayer, such as mantra? Or would you suggest they do something more tangible, more concrete, more material, you know, such as feeding people, such as helping hurricane victims, and so on. And, you know, my answer to that is it's all needed, obviously. But I think at the moment, more people are inclined, if they are service orientated, and what wonderful people we have right now, I'm sure in America, certainly over here, dealing with COVID in hospital wards and so on, and other illnesses. You know, but people are more likely to believe in that and more likely to do that and dedicate their life to it. If you are a person who's drawn to the spiritual aspect of life, who believes in it and doesn't just believe it, has experienced it, which everyone can do. I mean, I mentioned again this Facebook group, Awakening Through Yoga. It's Ayav Malik and Ashima Kanik who run this. And they have all these people having these experiences there. But if you are inclined to that, I would do that because less people are inclined to do it. And the other thing with spiritual service, it works at multi-levels. So it isn't, the physical level is essential. Don't please get me wrong here. Material service is a wonderful, wonderful thing to give, and it's essential. But the spiritual forms of service work at the mental level, they work at the energy level, and they work at the karmic level. So every time you are serving others, and that's why you should do it, you shouldn't do it for any other reason, and I'm sure you wouldn't, but you are helping yourself as well. You are helping your own karma. And you've given a good example. You said that when you started helping the soup kitchen, basically it seemed to me your life turned around, you know, and all sorts of benefits came back to you. And so many people say that. For me, it's the only thing that makes sense. And interestingly, I remember actually, I was with Dr. King on one of the mountains. You mentioned a mountain. This particular one is in Devon, because we often go to various mountains and pray and send healing and do mantra and so on from those places. And we were doing that, and Dr. King himself was running this in a county called Devon in southwest England. And there was hundreds of us there, but one person who came wasn't really interested in our beliefs at all. He was a yoga master, or said he was. He was certainly a yoga teacher. He came in long robes. He had his disciples or chelas around him. And he went straight up to Dr. King. And he said, you know, Dr. King, I've been to the Godhead. And Dr. King said, did you take your hat off? I do remember that was his first, because he had a great sense of humor. But and then this didn't really amuse the guru, who stood there and looked at him. So he then turned around and said, okay, so if you've been to the Godhead, then you know that all is one. So you know the only thing to do is serve. It's the only thing that makes sense. If we're all part of each other, we're all one with each other, and that's something you realize in deep meditation, then it's the only logical action. And, you know, this comes back to raising consciousness. I mean, we're all here to raise our consciousness through evolution, through the universe, through the cosmos, and to help each other to do it. Because the old days of the yogi sitting alone in retreat and thinking, I'm going to go into nirvana, and frankly, it's not my concern what happens to anyone else. Sorry to put it that way. And they didn't all think that way. Please let me correct that. And of course, there were some wonderful, great yogis like Milarepa and others. But those that did think that way are completely missing the point, because the whole purpose is to serve others. Even at that level, the best thing we can do, the most logical, and you do find that the great intelligences of history, you know, the Jesus, the Buddha, the Sri Krishna, and so forth, I would add to that this Dr. King, and as many others, these great intelligences have dedicated themselves in service. I mean, even in the case of Buddha, although what he taught was a path of inner development, he himself left that path quite young and spent most of his life walking around and traveling around trying to help others. And so that was the example that all the great ones have left us. And spiritual service, the beauty of it is it really works. And I said earlier, you know, you might be doing the simplest of things. Please don't underestimate what you can do, because you can make a difference.
Yeah.
I think that's the thing. People don't think they can make a difference. They say, well, I'm not a great healer. I'm not. What difference? You can make a massive difference. Even by focusing on what Dr. Pat and I are now discussing, you are making a difference, not just to yourself, but to the whole ethos, the mind belt, if you like, around. You're adding that positive energy, and that does make a difference.
And, you know, one of the things I want to talk about, too, and let's wrap this together, if we could, Richard, is that when you engage, at least this is my experience, when I engaged in that act of service, it wasn't the first time that I've ever engaged in service. The difference between that time for me and previous times was there was a heart-opening level of compassion and empathy.
Yeah.
And I don't know if this is a magic formula. I'm not saying that it is. But what happened to me was that that level of compassion, empathy, and willingness to be of service allowed me to open my heart to then go to the spiritual level.
Excellent.
Because it's very difficult, I think, for you to try to have empathy, compassion, and not have some spiritual energy. Maybe some people can do it. I don't know how to do it.
No, if I may just go to, again, back to yoga principles just for a moment there.
Yes.
There's a very kind of simple explanation of that, which is that when you are focused in service, your energy is not just even the physical heart, it's the psychic, the chakra, if you like, the heart center, which is activated if you're doing it, you know, passionately enough and with enough feeling and with enough love. You're starting to activate your higher centers. You can start through service to activate even higher centers than that, the throat center to some degree, even the Christ center to some degree. You're not perhaps sitting down thinking, I want to awaken my chakras.
No.
You're far too busy helping other people. But it's a natural process because internally you're altering the flow of this one energy I spoke about inside yourself, and it's moving. That energy is moving, and sometimes you can feel this actually upwards. The first time I tried to do what Dr. King called dynamic prayer, I was at university. I hadn't met him. Somebody told me, a great friend of mine actually, that he became later, told me about this method of dynamic prayer. I had an experience from doing it which disturbed me a lot, actually, because I felt this energy moving around within me. I didn't know what it was. I didn't know what energy was. I thought, what have you done? What have you got me doing here? But it was a real thing. This isn't a faith alone. This is a real thing you can test, you can experience, and it will start to awaken, to some degree, higher chakras within you. And that is going to bring to you greater wisdom, greater enlightenment, greater... I think one thing that starts to happen when you give service, and this is just a kind of an immediate benefit.
Yeah.
If you're focused on, I've mentioned it earlier, Ukraine or Afghanistan or Yemen or one of the numerous places in the world which needs help, and you start to do something, even if it's 10 minutes of prayer,
yeah.
You're taking your mind to a high cause. You're looking at people and the situations which, no matter what problems you have, and we all have them, are far more serious than what you're dealing with. So when you then finish doing this, and then you look, you have to deal with whatever it is, you know, you've got a debt or you've got a what have you, it's still a problem, it's got to be solved, but it doesn't take on all the emotional baggage that it did before, because your priorities have changed, because you've lifted yourself. You've lifted yourself through service, and you've risen above that level where it brings a certain type of, in a way, self-centered stress. You know, you've transferred your stress to, I'm going to care about these other people. Okay, I've got a debt, but these people are going to die tonight,
yep,
unless something is done. And then you come back, and yes, you've got to, we all have to deal with these worldly problems and different situations, but you do it in a different way. And that starts to happen when you live a life of service.
I'm so glad that you brought that up, because for those of you just tuning in, I'm so thrilled. I hope if you've missed any part of this, you go back and listen to it. if we could put these steps together, you see, I think until you do it, you may not realize the simplicity and the ease by which it can be done. And I don't know how else to say that. The difference for me is my first vision quest I went on with my mentor was all about self-discovery. When she asked me to come back and be part of the co-council, it was all about everybody else's self-discovery. And while it was nerve-wracking, a little anxious, all of my doubts and fears about worthiness, all of it, it's our humanity. But when you begin, it becomes like breathing if we allow ourselves to enter that spiritual space. And I say spiritual space, Richard, because I mean whatever that means for whoever's listening today.
Sure. And I think you've hit on a key thing.
Yes, go ahead.
Which you mentioned fears. You mentioned hopes, you mentioned fears.
Oh, yeah.
And fear is something that we have to overcome, or we can overcome. And it is, so many things are habitual, aren't they?
Yeah.
And, you know, people think, oh, I haven't got time to do breathing exercises in the morning, but they've got time to have breakfast. It would just become habitual. And likewise, we get used to living with fears if we're not careful and not even identifying them. And of course, the most dangerous state, if you can call it dangerous, is we don't even know we've got them. So people are sort of frightened of developing their psychic abilities, for example, as a healer. And you're right, it's just as easy, actually, to look at it the other way and be free of that fear. I remember when I went to New Zealand many years ago and I was running healing classes over there, and we were offered the chance, and I just arrived on a tour and I just met these people and I taught them how to give healing to individuals. And they knew the technique. Everyone can do it. It's the one that Dr. King taught. It's called the King Technique. I've written a book on it since called The Magic of Healing. His book is You Too Can Heal, which is a fantastic book.
Yeah.
And I did these classes. Anyway, we were offered the chance to speak at a pop concert. I think Elvis Costello was coming over.
Oh, uh-huh.
And I spoke on, believe it or not, at this pop concert just before Elvis went on. Not that I know him at all. But we also were given the chance to give healing to them all. And I just didn't have a band of healers. I just taught about 20 or 30 people that week. And I remember I was trying to encourage them to come along. And you've got nothing to lose. I mean, it'll either work or it won't. I mean, it does work, but you don't always get a result. Sometimes you do, sometimes you don't. It depends on the person, it depends on their karma, and so on. But one woman said, I just can't do this. I'm always taking workshops. I'm always doing classes. I remember her telling me this, but I don't actually do any of it afterwards. I just enjoy the classes. And I said, well, that's no good. Come along and give it a try. Well, it's a long-winded story, but she didn't believe in herself. She was frightened, I think, of being at a place like that and doing it in public, really. And yet that woman healed somebody there and then, who was partially blind. They weren't completely blind. They had glasses with very, very thick lenses, and they could see. But by the time this woman, who really didn't believe in herself at all, had given that person healing, they didn't need their glasses. And that doesn't happen every day or every healing treatment. And it wasn't done by a sort of person who had a visitation from an angel. It was done by this woman who'd taken one class and didn't believe in herself, and yet she did it. And everyone can do it.
Everybody can do it. And, you know, Richard, I want to thank you for today. I want to thank you for sharing that. I was going back and I was listening. I've been asked to speak at an upcoming conference in the summer. And so I went back and I had to look at a couple of movies that came out a couple of years ago. One of them was the movie Carol. And it was with Rooney Mara and Kate Blanchett. And I had to go back and look at the interviews about it because I was asked a very specific question. And I found one interview by Rooney Mara, who I'm a fan of anyway. Girl with the Dragon Tattoo, come on.
Oh, yeah, got it, yeah.
Yeah, her and Daniel Craig in that, come on.
Okay, yeah.
But she looked, and she said this in the camera. You know, I was offered the role to play Tourette's in this film. and I was not at a very good place. Now, this is right after Girl with the Dragon Tattoo, which just was phenomenal. She says, I turned it down. And she talked about that, and she said, the universe was kind to me, and it brought it back to me, and I got to play the role. And I thought to myself, in just a sentence, she talked about being at a place of pain. She talked about what the limitations that pain brought her. She talked about the journey she went on to heal it. And the universe responded in kind. See, Rooney Mara is a great actor, but she's no different than you and me. And I think that's what you're reminding us of today, Richard. We're human beings with the enormous ability to change. Thank you for today.
Absolutely. Thank you.
I'd love to know your personal message. Thank you so much.
Well, my personal message is realize your inner potential. We can all do it. It's within us. It's limitless. We just have to tap it. And I would just say this, as well as healing, there's lots of people who are having intuitive impressions that they don't listen to. They don't think they are that sort of person. They come, it's a hunch, and then they think later, gosh, I wish I had acted on that. Well, next time that happens to you, don't ignore it. Now, don't take any risks if you're not sure, because it could be your imagination or it could be your intuition. You're not sure. But don't ignore it. If it's completely safe and you've got nothing to lose and no one will be harmed, follow it. Test it. If it turns out to be correct, remember how you felt, because that is the feeling of intuition. And it's different, very different from an imagination. And you'll start to get into what I call a groove, where you'll recognize it and you'll start to tap into your inner voice, which is the divine presence within each and every one of us.
And that is how we get to live an amazing life. Richard Lawrence, everybody. Richard, thank you so much for
today.
It's always an honor.
An honor for me.
All of you out there, is a lot in this show today, but as Richard always does, it's an invitation.
On this program are those of the host, guests, and callers, and not necessarily those of KKNW, its management, or other advertisers. Contests are the responsibility of the host of this program and not KKNW. This is Alternative Talk 1150 AM, KKNW Seattle, and KNUC 98.9 HD3 Seattle.
As we take a break between these 2 hours of Transformation Talk Radio, I'm Nate here in Alternative Talk 1150 for a look at the traffic. And with the holiday, it's nice and smooth out there right now. Just be on the lookout if you're on 405 heading north through Bellevue. There is an accident blocking the right lane at around 8th Street. And that's it for this traffic update after the news break. On the second hour of Transformation Talk Radio, it's Maximum Resilience with Kelly Bazzani. And on this show, she explains the duality of the addictive mind.
NBC News Radio, I'm Lisa Taylor. Police are responding to a shooting near an Independence Day parade north of Chicago. There are reports of shots fired at the 4th of July parade in downtown Highland Park. Police posted on social media a local festival has been canceled. The Lake County Sheriff confirmed they're assisting with the investigation. The White House is keeping a close eye on a new education law in effect across Florida. The parental rights in education law restricts lessons on sexual orientation and gender identity in classrooms up to third grade. The Biden administration is encouraging students and parents to file complaints with the U.S. Department of Education if they face discrimination. Last-minute travelers are coping with more flight delays on the 4th of July. FlightAware reports more than 1,000 flight delays across the U.S. Around 180 flights have been scrubbed so far today. On Friday, Transportation Secretary Pete Buttigieg tweeted they'd be monitoring how airlines were performing throughout the weekend. From the nation's capital to San Diego, some of the biggest 4th of July fireworks displays are back to normal tonight. Michael Kastner reports.
For the
the first time since before the pandemic, fireworks at the National Mall event will feature musical performances on the West Lawn of the U.S. Capitol. Meanwhile, 3 million visitors are expected to descend on Harborfest in Boston. On the West Coast, Big Bay Boom is anticipated to draw up to 500,000 spectators in San Diego, California. I'm Michael Kastner.
Akron, Ohio is issuing a curfew for the downtown area following protests over the deadly officer-involved shooting of a black man. The curfew is for 9 o'clock tonight until 6 o'clock tomorrow morning. Protests over 25-year-old Jaylen Walker's death were held for a fourth day yesterday. More protests are expected today. Ryan Lochte is auctioning off his Olympic medals. The swimmer is selling his 3 silver and 3 bronze medals. The Florida native says he's going to donate the proceeds to a charity that funds dream vacations for seriously ill children. You're listening to the latest on NBC News Radio.
Teachers shape the future. Right now, in a classroom somewhere in the United States, there's a teacher inspiring a future scientist who'll make preventing pandemics their life's work, sharpening the mind of an aspiring environmentalist who'll help combat climate change, and generating possibilities for a student who'll be the first in their family to graduate college. Explore a career that leaves a legacy you can be proud of. Teach. Learn more and receive free support at teach.org.
And now for your alternative talk, Weather Outlook. For today, we'll have mostly cloudy skies throughout the day, giving us a high near 69 and southern winds around 6 miles per hour. Overnight, we'll enjoy the fireworks under mostly cloudy skies with a slight chance of showers and a low around 54. For tomorrow, looks like a partly sunny day, bringing us a high near 74 and a low around 58. And finally for Wednesday, a chance of scattered showers, otherwise mostly cloudy, high near 73.
The views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of KKNW, its management, or other advertisers. This program is sponsored by Dr. Pat Basile and Transformation Talk Radio.
Welcome to Maximum Resilience with me, Kelly Bazzani, as we go on this epic journey of how to own your power and the steps to take that lead you towards an incredible life of maximum resilience. This educational, powerful, engaging, and inspiring show will change your perception of addiction while we revolutionize the approach that ensures mental health as we address a worldwide epidemic. Let's shift the paradigm promoting mental and emotional wellness. We do recover. Experience the transformation from addiction to living your best life.
Hey, everybody, welcome. It's so great to have all of you tune us in and turn us on. I'm Dr. Pat, but I get to do this show with the most amazing person. You know, every once in a while, you bump into somebody and you think, well, wait a minute. How is it that our life's path could be so similar and yet so different? You know, how is it that we step out into this world and we know one thing, that we are here to do something purposefully and passionately? That's Kelly. Kelly Bazzani is joining me here today. This is about not just personal resilience, but this is her show, Maximum Resilience. I want to introduce all of you to her. Whether you know her as this amazing coach, somebody that took a journey that thought, I'm going to be on this life path, I'm going to work, I'm going to be a critical nurse, I'm going to do this, and you step out, and what you find is life hands you some opportunities to learn more about yourself, to grow more with yourself, and then to help others do the same. Today, you're going to hear about recovery and resilience. You're going to hear about rising up and falling down. But in the end, what you're going to hear about in this episode is one thing that's so important, and that's part of Kelly's message, and that's mindset matters. This is about the duality of the addicted mind explained. Now, I want to put one caveat out there for all of you. If you're thinking the addictive mind only means drugs and alcohol, no. I buried my sister, 450 pounds on a hospital floor. Addictive mind right now hits almost every part of our lives where we are unmanageable. Kelly, great to have you. Great. We're ready to kick this off, right?
Yes. Yes, absolutely. Thank you, Dr. Pat. What an honor and a privilege. I'm so happy to be here with you today, and you're absolutely right. First time I met you, I remember saying, you know, my soul and your soul are very old friends. working with you has just been just such an opportunity already. It's exactly what we're talking about, right? Another learning and growing opportunity. And that's why I'm here. It's just a lifelong journey. And I'm so glad you introduced me the way that you did. Because as you said, my the resilience part of this is so important. And people looking at me right now look at me like this, right? I have credentials back here behind me. Hair is on point. Everyone's like, what does she have to talk about that has to do with addiction? And that's what I want to start with, because 8 years ago, which isn't a very long time, I was homeless. I was in jail for my second time. I was unemployable. I had surrendered my nursing license. I was in a rehabilitation center for my third time. My family was gone, as they should have been, with healthy boundaries. And so I'm here to talk about this today because the opioid crisis, the pandemic, it has brought this to the surface for me again. And as I was sitting in jail and I was judging my cellmate in there because she was in there for first-degree murder, and I was like, I am only in here for DUIs. Why am I? My higher power knocked me to my knees and was like, if you would have hit a child or you would have hit another person, you'd be in here doing the same amount of time as her. So what makes you think you're any better? And at that moment, I said to myself, I'm going to dedicate the rest of my life doing this work. And I have. And there's so much more to say about that. But what I can say about that is I called my sponsor and I said, send me my materials. And I was in that cell for 23 hours a day and out for one, and I started doing this work. And I've continued to do this work, and I kept hitting walls, right? I kept hitting walls. I was doing my marriage family therapist license, and I couldn't continue to do it because I was on probation, and boom, and boom. And so we're going to talk about maximum resilience today, and we're going to talk about it in our shows, and we're going to talk about it. And, you know, I love that we're going to talk about mindset today because it starts with mindset. And the first question, you know, I ask myself all the time is like, what does this have to do with recovery? People ask, like, why does my mindset have to do with recovery?
What do you say to them? Because I love that question. First of all, if you say mindset to people, they think it's like something different than mine. But, you know, I bet you had a load to say to them. Well, so what do you say to them when people say, what do you mean? What does that got to do with anything? What do you say?
Well, the first thing I say to them is, have you ever said to yourself, well, that's just the way that I am?
This weekend.
This morning. Right? This morning. I mean, rent is due on my recovery every day, right? I have to make that conscious decision every day. I'm getting ready this morning. I'm like, I have the Dr. Pat show today. I have the, you know, and my aunt's like, well, what shirt do you want to wear, this one or this way? And I'm like, just, you know, and she's like, and I'm like, it's just the way I am. You know it. It's just the way that I am. And I caught myself, right? Yeah. Because we tell ourselves that, and that's a fixed mindset. That's just the way I am. It leaves no room for growth. And so I have to catch myself because we come in with these set of beliefs about ourselves, and we make it a reality, and it keeps us stuck and fixed. It's so important that we start to talk about these kind of things and just have a conversation. Because if we tell ourselves, like, that's just the way I am, well, where do we go from there?
Yeah. Well, one of the things that I know you talk about, and let's just give people some information.
Yeah.
There are now statistics. You know, we've gotten to discover the brain. We've gotten to understand that, you know, the whole idea that we only use 80% of our brain is not true, but there is some truth to that. But we've also understand that we are a machine of thoughts. What do some of the studies say? And I know there's something really important that you talk about. You really have this differentiation, and this is why this is important for people, between a growth mindset and a fixed mindset. Tell us, where are we going with the mind today? What is the latest information we got about our thoughts?
Well, Dr. Pat, we're born with a negative feedback loop. That's just, you know, from the beginning of time, animals' instincts, right? And so when we're born with this, the latest statistics on this is addicts have over like 12,000 thoughts a day. And that, with an addict mind, can go to 70,000 thoughts a day. And those are negative and fixed. And so some of the most common thoughts we have are, I'm a failure. I'm inadequate. I'm too damaged to be loved. I should have known better. Those are really heavy thoughts that we have, and they occur so rapidly, and they occur so that we don't even challenge the logic on those, and we make them a reality. And it's so important to talk about that, because look at the first two words in that, I am, as if your whole self is flawed. And so we go throughout our day thinking that, and think about that. You go into relationships thinking that. You go into a job interview thinking that. You go into all these things thinking that, and you take action on that, and then that's the result. And you think about that just for someone that's going into their everyday life, but for an addict who's struggling, and that's really where I want to point the emphasis there. For an addict who's struggling to get back on their feet, and they're thinking, I'm a failure, or I'm too damaged to be loved, or I have no value. That's another big one.
Yeah.
Oof. Right? And you're holding that, because there's a difference between, you know, I made a mistake and I am a mistake. That's the difference between a behavior, I made a mistake, and I am one. And so then when you're trying to hold that and you're making that a reality about who you are, let's go back to today where we talk about that, right? Where this morning I'm like, that's just the way I am. Right? Well, you go into your day and you hold on to that and you bring that into everything that you do for that day. Well, what kind of hope does that give you that you're going to recover? That's hard. That's a hard thing. So I kind of want to talk about that today, because if that's your fixed mindset, instead of going, well, I made a mistake, but what are the other possibilities available to me to go and do something different the next time?
Yeah. Yeah. You know, it's something that's so important to talk about. We don't understand that our roots have so much power, our thoughts have so much power in what designation we take in our future. It really is. I think the only way to figure that out is to go through the processes, and especially if you've been through recovery like you and I have, there's an entire process that you go through, and there are multiple processes, and there isn't just one way. There are a number of ways, but there is no way that I know of, maybe you know one, where we don't have to face ourselves, all parts of ourselves. You know, and isn't this where we get to decide what am I holding on to that is so fixed, so static, that it's not going to get me to where we want to go? So let's talk for a minute about what you mean by a growth mindset and a fixed mindset, because those are pivotal to understanding how to go from wherever you are in your addictive behavior, addictive thinking, to being on the path to recovery, right?
That's absolutely right. You know, I can say for myself, when I was going through this, the fixed mindset for me was the absolute. I'll never get better. I'll always feel this way. Nobody likes me. You know, those absolute black and white thinking, because as addicts and alcoholics, we go to the extremes. When we do it, we do it, right? We're all that black and white thinking. And so when we are in those mindsets, it'll never get better. Those unfavorable comparisons. Well, she does it better than me. Look at her success. I'll never be that way. And comparing us out. So that shame that we're holding puts us in that fixed mindset. And so for me, alcohol and drugs was but a symptom of like what was all underneath there. And so what I really want to emphasize is that this isn't like how I am now isn't how it always was. It's messy. It's messy. Growth and transformation is messy. So to go from that fixed mindset to that growth mindset, you got to get in there and get a little bit messy with yourself and that vulnerability and go, well, I want to find out how they did it. Instead of comparing myself to that person, I want to go ask that person, how did they do that? Mm-hmm. And then know that I can do that too. Or not nobody likes me, but I am going to look at what are the things that I'm doing that maybe I'm going to look at or ask for that feedback. So instead of looking at feedback as nobody likes me and it's criticism, maybe I'm going to ask some questions and then look and go explore a little bit. So we can talk about these things, but we've got to get messy with ourselves, because growth and transformation, when people are like, I know. No, we don't know, because we've never been there before with ourselves. And so I like to talk about this growth mindset with people, because when we're going through addiction, it's a very lonely process. We've got to change a lot of things when we're going with ourselves, because we go from having this one life, from a critical care nurse, that's an identity, to figuring out a whole new process with ourselves that we've never been there before.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, isn't it also true that, you know, a fixed mindset really cuts off any expanded energy? I mean, there are some very clear disadvantages of a fixed mindset. Now, there are some people and there are some situations where a fixed mindset has got to be the rule. And, you know, and let me talk about what that is.
Yeah.
You know, I think each of us have our own, let's just call it fixed mindset about something that's not negotiable. And, you know, and there, but those are, let's just talk it like my mom used to say, those are few and far between. But generally speaking, fixed mindsets, they put us in such a giant pothole because we miss so much. So what have you discovered about, like, these fixed mindsets and what their disadvantages are?
Well, it doesn't leave any room for growth. You know, I remember when I was in that fixed mindset, your attention goes where your energy flows. And so when you're in that fixed mindset and those negative beliefs that you're having, it's like an energy meter, right? So, you know, your energy, when your energy meter is fixed on, like, I am this way, right? You're expending so much energy thinking I'll never change. It'll always be this way. Nobody, you know, your energy meter, I want you to think of it like a PG&E meter. It's like all the way over, you're expending so much energy over here. Whereas if you're like, I think I can change, or I think I want to do it this way, or let me see where I can expend this energy over here with happiness or joy, or, you know, over this way. I want you to think of it like, if you think of it like, I have to change, how do you feel when you're made to have to do something? I don't like it. It makes me feel resentful. It makes me feel kind of angry. Whereas if I'm like, I get to do it, or I want to do it, ooh, that's a fresher new energy for me. That makes me feel like I have a power of choice there. I'm not forced. Mm-hmm. And so it's a different kind of energy feel for me, but that's a different kind of, that fixed mindset, it's just, it doesn't leave you any room. It's like a fix. So I want to talk a little bit about that, because the question I always ask myself, does anybody ever get that feeling in the morning? And this happens to me a lot, where it's like, and then you carry it with you like a suit of armor into everything that you do. And I had this happen to me, like, just even a couple weeks ago. I'm wearing a white shirt and I'm trying to leave the house and I'm in a hurry and I spill coffee on me and I get angry, right? And instead of separating that feeling from who I am, Kelly as a person, I carry that anger with me, right? And then I'm like, and so then I'm waiting in line for something at the grocery store, and then I'm angry, right? And then I'm waiting for a client to come onto a Zoom, and then they're 2 minutes late, and then I'm angry. And then I'm trying to cook dinner, and I burn something, and then I'm angry because the chicken doesn't turn out. So I carry that with me all day, and I'm in that fixed sense. So why, though, right? Instead of being like, I'm grateful that I have a car to drive to go there. I'm grateful that I can get groceries. I'm grateful. So when I was in my addiction, I had that same fixed mindset. I'm going through a back surgery, and I'm like a Johnny One Note, right? Every time someone calls, my back hurts. My back hurts. My back hurts. My back hurts. I had nothing else to talk about instead of like, what can I do to help me with that? Right? What are the other possibilities available to me? So then I go into my beliefs. I need another back surgery. Nobody's going to want to do this for me. Right? And then the behaviors happen. So then I get guarded, and then I get untrusting, and then I think I'm going to be in my addiction. And then. So instead of focusing on what I'm doing in the present moment, I'm way out in the future of where I want to be and back in the past of getting depressed about where I am, instead of focus on what's right in front of me and what I need to be doing.
Yeah.
So the fixed mindset has so many energy sucks about it that creates a reality that's not really the reality.
Yeah. You know what I love about this? And for those of you just tuning in, I want to make sure you have information about Kelly. We're going to do a lot of shows together. We're going to talk about a lot of things. Go to MyResilienceCoach.com, MyResilienceCoach.com. You're going to find about Kelly. You're going to find out about what she's up to, what she believes in. Take a look at the testimonials, all of the above. Because we're talking about going beyond a commitment. We're talking about a passion and a purpose to help others. That's really what this show's about and why she's doing it. And, you know, one of the things I love about this conversation is when we talk about something like mindset, unlike some other things, right, we can change it if we want to. We can change it. You know, there's one thing I learned from one of my first mentors, and she said, Pat, you know, there's only one thing you have in life that's free. And I'm thinking, okay, like what? You know, like right. She says, you have the freedom to choose. That's actually the only thing you have in life, that at a conscious mind level, that's all you have. You can choose. You can choose everything you do, everything you think, everything you feel, how long you feel them, what you do about it. She went on to say that. Mindset was one of the major focuses for her. She didn't call it mindset, but talk about this, because what if everybody today understood that they had incredible power, I mean superpower, to change a mindset? And then what happens when we flip it and we look at a growth mindset and how it gets us from where we are today to be able to do what we desire to do, right?
I think you nailed it, right? I mean, that's the whole point of what we're talking about, right? If you look at addiction, how powerless do you feel over your addiction, and how unmanageable does your life get? I know for me, I was sitting on the lawn of my rehabilitation center with my sponsor, and I'm like, how are you going to fix this for me? And she's like, I'm not. But I'm going to sit here with you and we can fix it together. And I felt so powerless over my addiction. And she had said the same thing to me, Dr. Pat, as your sponsor said to you. She's like, what power of choice do you have? Because we're powerless over people, places, and things. And I get that from clients all the time. This person did this to me, and how do I change this? And how do I... And I said, if you're waiting on something or someone to shift or change, you're going to be waiting a very long time. So it's up to you to do the shifting or changing. So don't give your power away to people. Step into it and let's make some changes, because that's where your power lies.
Yeah.
At any given time, you can change your mind, and you have the right to change your mind.
Yeah.
I give them a personal bill of rights, and they're like, I can do all these things? It's like 30 things. I just give it to them right away. So the power of the growth mindset is like you have your own unique lens that you can see things through, and you get to choose whether it's based on assumptions, because you don't have all the information. So it can be on assumptions, or you can base it on a fact. And that's why my first assignment, I always give her the I am. The word I am is the most powerful word in your vocabulary, because what follows that creates your reality. So if you're like, well, I am brave, I am resilient, I am boom, I am boom, I am boom, and then you take action on that, and then you can see some results. And at first people are like, well, I don't believe it. I'm like, it's okay. You don't need to at first. I did it. I used to sit in front of that mirror and I would giggle, and then I couldn't look at myself in the mirror, and then I kind of walk away. Right? It took me a couple months.
Yeah,
it did. But look at how long we were telling each other negative things in the mirror first. And so that's a question I kind of want to ask too. Like, when is the last time you've looked at yourself in the mirror and said something positive to yourself?
Yeah, I think that's for everybody here at the audience to really think about this.
Yeah.
It's a huge question. And, you know, I mean, let's kick it up a little bit. You know, what I love is, you know, some of these layers with mindset go deep. You know, some of them are conscious and subconscious. We know that. But you have to start with what you're aware of.
Yeah.
You have to be able to. It's really interesting. I caught myself this morning with Linda, and I realized I'm very mindful and respectful of my best friend. But because we are best friends, we see the most ugliest parts of each other.
Yes.
And she sees it when I'm beyond the stress point.
Yes.
And I wish I could change it. But here's the difference. You catch it and you say, honestly, I'm sorry. You know, and I just said to her, look, you know, there'll always be stress in life. That's not your problem. My problem is, how am I going to show up today? And what I'm noticing is that you have to have a level of awareness, because mindset's not going to change unless you're aware. The other thing that I'd love for you to talk to, sometimes we don't see ourselves well. I mean, you and I are sitting here because other people have seen us in a way to be able to make us more aware, right?
Yes.
I mean, I'm direct, and it's okay to be direct, but it's not okay to be direct and disrespectful.
Yes.
And I've had to apologize to more people in this past year because I couldn't catch my tone before it came out, but I did catch it right away or closely thereafter. And, you know, the thing that we're talking about, the mindset and the growth mindset will kick in.
Yes.
It will say, what did you just say? Or what did you just tell yourself you were not going to do?
Yes.
Or, I mean, this is a big conversation.
It's a huge conversation, and I am so glad you just touched on it. So change takes two things, awareness and action. And I think a big thing on this is the consistency, right? Addicts is, well, look at addiction, right? It's the instant gratification. Right, we're trying to suppress or numb or cover or whatever. And we're talking about mindset, which is like putting it out there. And I want to talk about what you just talked about. Dr. Pat, let's get raw. Look at me. Look at what I did with you when we first started doing this. This is completely out of my comfort zone. I couldn't be more uncomfortable in these last couple months prepping for this. And look at how I had to show up with you a couple of weeks ago. I showed up. And it was uncomfortable because I've never done this before. I didn't know what the production stuff was, you know, and so I went into my old behaviors.
Yeah.
And I love how you talked about addiction isn't just alcohol and drugs. It's gambling. It's sex. It's behaviors. It's all these different things that we do. And so when I got scared or I got in fear, what do? I reach back in the past and I pick up my old stuff I used to survive. Not to thrive, to survive. And how did I show up with you? I'm like, yep, yeah. And I'm like, Kelly, what's going on? Right? And so then I got to show up with you and go, hey, I wanna take accountability. Mm-hmm. That's not how I want to show up with you. Right?
And you know what's so interesting about it is because you and I have taken parallel paths.
Yes.
So, it's not like one of us didn't understand what was happening.
Absolutely.
Because my understanding of it allowed me to be in a different place of acceptance for it, you know, because we have some tools. But I want to say something before we go to break. And when we come back from break, I want to talk about it. I want the public to hear what I'm about to say. There has never been a greater recording of addictive or addictive habits than in the world we live in today. There's never been a greater gap between what many of us have learned in some of these programs we're referencing that are not available to the general population because, one, they don't know about it, but even in the overeating arena because we haven't learned how to normalize the conversation.
Yes.
And here's what I want to say, and Kelly's going to talk about this when we come back from break. You're talking about two people that have worked really hard to get here.
Yeah.
But if you'd have met us on day one, when somebody hands us a big fat book and then tells us, in my case, to memorize 12 things called the promises and to sit down and shut up in a room full of people, I mean literally that, and you just want to scream. What is the mindset that keeps you there, though? See, this is what we want to talk about. Here's the thing I want to leave you with that Kelly's going to talk about when we come back. And this is what my mentor said to us, Pat. She said, look, this is going to be you. You are not going to change until the pain of staying the same is 10 times greater. Not just one time, than the pain of change. When we come back, we're going to talk with Kelly about where do we go. You could either take the short version, you could take the long version. You could go quickly or you could go slowly. But you must have a way to do it. And what I want to say with all of you, you're starting on day one. When we kind of come back, we're both going to talk about what we feel is the paradox of this. But what do you have to have in order for you to have what you really want to have? Let's take a short break. We'll be right back with Kelly. We'll make sure you have lots of information. Stay tuned, everybody. We'll be right back. Hey, everybody. Welcome back. This is my fantastic co-host joining me here today. This is her show. Kelly Bazzani is joining me here today. But more importantly, it's about resilience. If you want to find out about her, I'm going to tell you how to do that in a minute. This episode in particular is extremely important because it crosses a lot of lines. You know, it crosses the lines of whether you think you have a drug addiction and alcohol addiction. You are so glued to your television, you can't turn it off. By the way, cell phone addiction is right at the top of the list now. It's like beating everything. And so this is about maximum resilience. Today's episode is about mindset matters, the duality of the addictive mind explained. Hello. See, get it? Addictive mind. You don't have to be like, oh, like I'm not addicted to drugs, right? No. Drugs and alcohol. Just put your cell phone away for 24 hours. See if you don't have a nervous breakdown from that. Kelly, how do we find out about you? Tell us a little bit about what you're up to.
Yeah, so Dr. Pat, I'm doing right now, I just updated my website. And so you can find me at www.myresiliencecoach.com. And we're expanding right now, which is super exciting. During the pandemic, mental health just got a rise with all of this addiction, like you just said, cell phone, children struggling with anxieties and depressions and addictions and suicide rates because of addiction. And so we just hired two new wonderful employees. My sponsor actually is now working for Resilience, so she'll be spearheading a lot with addiction. And another wonderful employee, Marcy Stouffer, will be working. And she'll be taking on a lot of grief clients and working with addiction as well. And so you can find us there, and then I'll be expanding out so that I can reach a larger audience with speaking engagements, going into residential treatment homes and schools so I can target the youth and get to them at a younger age here. So again, you can find us at www.myresiliencecoach.com, and so we can start spreading this message at a larger audience. And I just want to thank you again for giving me this opportunity to speak about this, because it just needs the attention that it's getting. Like you said, you've buried a lot of people from this. I just lost a friend, my oldest friend in AA on Friday from this addiction, and I'm dedicating this show to her. Carrie, sir, this is for you. And I've lost a fiance to this addiction. So it's just so important that we talk about this and start with mindset like we're doing today. Yeah,
and I want to flip this up and get back to the question. In order to have what I desire, what do you have to shift in order to have the have, right? But the
That's
action.
Right.
Let me flip this up for a minute. I am working with a young woman that I've sponsored before, and I've watched her, you know, go in and out, and she got a great treatment this time around. And what I'm realizing is that everybody in the public seems to think that when people go to treatment, they get out and they get tools. No. Mm-hmm. The only people that get that is if you can afford 50 grand a month and go up somewhere to Malibu. So I'm talking about how the rest of us step up and say, I'll rewrite your resume for you. I will update your resume for you. I will help. See, this is a simple thing that most people take for granted, right?
That's absolutely right.
But when somebody has the desire, they have their resume on a flash drive. Hello.
That's absolutely right.
Right?
That's
right. You know what I'm saying?
That's right.
When you got the desire, you're ready to go.
You're ready.
But you don't have the tools. So tell us about what we do next. How do we access our full potential? And how do we look at what's holding us back and get the results?
It starts with belief. So if you're looking at the success cycle, and you're absolutely right, right? I went to three rehabilitation centers. The first two, $17,000 rehabilitation centers, right? The third one, that was my last one, was funded by a mental health. Free. It was free. But I stayed clean and sober because it was my choice and my desire because I wanted to do it based on my beliefs. And so I'm so glad you brought that up. So it starts with the beliefs. If you're looking at a success cycle, Dr. Pat, people do it backwards, right? They start with, I want a job, I want a car, I want this, I want this, I want this. And it's like, okay, but you can't have any of that if you don't start with, I want to know how you're thinking. Yeah. What are your beliefs? How are you thinking about yourself? What are your desires? And so to obtain that maximum resilience, let's first start there. What is resilience? It's the ability to bounce back, because you can have the desire, but life's going to continue to happen. And I think as in addiction, like I said, with that instant gratification, it's like, okay, I'm clean now. Now I want my life. So, you know, you hear people say, I'll be happy when. I'll be happy when I have the car, or I'll be happy when I make more money, I'll be happy when. And I'm like, okay, well, let's get sober, because what are you going to do when you're sober, but then somebody passes away, or you don't get the job, or you have that craving, or whatever. So how are you going to sustain that? That's what I want to talk about. How are you going to sustain that resilience? Yeah. What are the tools that you need?
You know, let me ask you a question, because this is one of the great paradoxes that I had to deal with many years ago when it was right up in my face, and I made a choice. And the paradox is, and I'm just going to say in general within 12-step programs, all of them I believe have this.
Yeah.
And it's paradoxical, and I never understood it. Thank God I had the sponsor I had early on that knew me. And it's paradoxical. It's one day at a time, but you can never have a drink or use again. And I never understood it. Which is it, people? Is it one day at a time, or are you telling me, no, this is, you can't like go like this many times and then decide you're going to go back to drinking and using. And you see, it's always been confusing for me. And I was so grateful up front. The people I worked with said, you will never, ever, if you want the life you want, you will never, ever, 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 period. Right?
Yeah, true.
Said, you'll never do it. And then he said, you'll never be able to drink again one day at a time.
That I love that. That's exactly right. Yeah.
That makes sense to me, because what he did is he prioritized it for me.
Yes.
Right? Because when you give me that one day at a time, that is my exit strategy.
Yes.
That's mindset. So talk about now, get us down with the mindset thing, because there's a mindset of one day at a time, like, oh, one day, but then tomorrow. No, it's like, if you understand the science of addiction, you will know that somebody that is really watching what they eat, if they buy 3 bags of potato chips, they are not going to eat 5 chips. It's really hard.
That's
so tell
right.
us about your experience.
That's
mindset.
Right. I mean, there's so many theories about this, right? I mean,
there are.
it cracks me up. There's things that come out all the time, you know, and I have clients that come to me and they're like, what if I just did the, you know, what if I, and I just look, you know, and I'm like, okay. For, you know, the experience, I love the way your sponsor said that, and my sponsor says to me too, you know, you need to prioritize your life around your sobriety, not sobriety around your life. And I love the way she said that too, because it's right. You know, I couldn't sit for 5 minutes without needing to use, or, you know, I couldn't sit, I had to sit on my hands and this and that. So it's like, how do you do that? Because when I would think about it, when I would think about like, I can't have a drink at my wedding, how do I go to my family's? We're an Italian family. I mean, there's wine flowing, you know? And so I had to really, you know, as my sponsor said, play the tape all the way through. When I would make plans to do something. So I love that. It was a one day at a time, waking up and making that conscious choice, being mindful, and always having a plan. You know, so if I knew I was going to my parents' house, if I knew there was going to be alcohol or drugs, what would I do? I would go. I would always have a plan. If I was going, then go to a I would have a meeting scheduled. I would have my sponsor on auto dial. I would have whatever, you know. I couldn't just be frivolous, because this was my life. And you have to kind of, we're taught a certain belief system when we're growing up, you know, loving ourselves is selfish or whatever. When you start recovery, you got to be selfish. because it's your life. So you've got to, your mindset needs to be a certain way. And the goal, Dr. Pat, isn't to rid yourself of all these beliefs and be like, I'm never going to think these thoughts again, that I feel like a failure. The goal is not to allow them into your conscious memory, like you said. Be mindful when they come in and be like, challenge that reality. Be like, what would a woman that's 100% a failure look like? Am I that woman? No, I woke up this morning, I brushed my teeth. Sometimes the list is really small when you're first starting, like you said, on day one. No, I got out of bed this morning, I brushed my teeth, I fed my animal, I got in the shower, I want to make it to a meeting. I didn't fail today. Challenge that reality.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. And you know, here's where we are. The reason that we want to challenge that reality and change our mindset is, you know, there's not enough time in this show to really talk about what happens when the magic happens. And when I looked at the first 3 years and the amazing things in my life that showed up that would have never shown up, just impossible to show up, and showed up because I was able to be present in a way that I was never present before.
Yes.
You know, and to see things manifest that on paper realistically shouldn't. And yet there's something that has to happen, and this show is about mindset. It's not about emotion. We'll do another show about that.
Yep.
So we're not leaving emotions out of the conversation.
That's right.
But it's so much easier to kick the ball if the ball is mindset.
Yes.
Right? And that's really what we're talking about today is, you know, we're saying, look, there's a conscious and an unconscious truth.
That's right.
But if we could start at this one place, what might we change, right?
Yes. And I'm so glad you said that. I mean, I was sitting with my father yesterday at Father's Day, like you said, and I was looking at him, and he said something. I forget what he said, because they just celebrated 50 years, and I'm just looking at them and taking it all in. And he looked over, and he goes, something. He goes, wow. And I go, well, you haven't said much. And he goes, well, you haven't stopped talking. And I said, well, would you rather me be on Valium and falling asleep? And he goes, if you were, we wouldn't be here. And it just, like you said, you know, the gifts that have come into my life, I always think about this when we talk about mindset, because it's not easy. So I don't want to talk about this like it's not work. You know it's not. You've been through this too. It's work. It's working your way, the resilience, that's what the definition is, right? It's bouncing back from things like that. Because when I first got clean and sober, I was holding on. I wasn't showing up in my addiction for people. I did things in my addiction that I would never do clean, but I'm human, like you talked about. I still do things clean and sober that I'm not proud of, like you said with Linda, right? That she knows you on a level, right? That's like me and my aunt. She gets to see me behind the scenes, not like this when I show up, but 2 days before. So I really want to get the message out that I tell my clients, right, this is imperfect progress towards what we're trying to accomplish here. It's not to be done perfectly, but like you said, when the pain gets greater enough and you're ready to change this, it's the gift and the abundance that you receive on the other side of it. If you just keep doing it one day, you can't lift 1,000 pounds in a day, but you can lift 1 pound 1,000 times. So these small repeated efforts will get you there.
You know, it's interesting. Somebody asked me the other day, or last week it was, you know, are you worried about COVID, right? Because just every time you turn around, I got a text message from the place I play ping pong, you know, COVID, COVID, COVID. There are more COVID cases now than even were reported, but we're not reporting it. But, you know, it's there. It's just everywhere, right? Fauci got COVID.
Yeah.
Dr. Fauci.
I saw that on Google. I sent it to my friend.
I'm like, if Fauci got COVID. But, you know, somebody asked me this question, and they said, you know, you've had a couple of people out with COVID. I said, that's right. Like 3 out of 4.
Yeah.
And I said, so they said, are you worrying about it? I said, well, first of all, no. Second of all, I'm prepared. And they looked at me and they said, what do you mean you're prepared? See, this is the key to recovery. They said, what do you mean you're prepared? I said, well, I already work with a couple of doctors, a naturopath. I work with a nutritionist. I have more supplements sitting on my table of what I should take, when I should take them, how to build my immune system. I'm here sucking on vitamin C water. And then I said, this is a matter of mindset. I said, I got sick a couple of weeks ago, and it was not COVID. But it had to be COVID's ugly twin.
Yeah,
and it's that other thing that was floating around. And I said, you know, we've taken a word in our country, in the world, we've taken one word, and it's COVID. And we've given it so much power. And I do not want to understate or undermine the people in my family that have died from it. So let
Absolutely.
Me just be clear about that.
Absolutely.
And I'm also not undermining the fact that any one of us can die from it. But what am I going to hold in my consciousness and my mindset? You know, what's going to happen if I have addicted behavior and I get COVID and I say, okay, that's horrible. Time to really numb myself. See, we have to be ready. And I don't care what version of recovery you're in. Gambling, cell phones, hello cell phones, sex addicts. I don't care who you are. If you are not prepared and ready for life, this journey is going to kick your butt upside down and sideways.
Well, that's exactly what I'm talking about with the, gosh, are you living in my home? I think you have a mic in my bedroom. I had that too. And when we're talking about that success cycle, like you're asking me about the potential, the emotional intelligence will give you the potential. Doesn't mean you're going to do anything with it. You're talking about the emotional fitness that puts you in that state of readiness. So if you have those beliefs, right, and then you put it into that action, and then that's what you're talking about. So if you have the emotional intelligence, right, okay, great, you're managing your circumstances, but that's really chaotic, like we were in our addiction. But that emotional fitness that you're talking about puts you in that state of readiness. So you're like, okay, now I have my vitamin C water. I have this. Playing the tape all the way through. Boom, right? That's that resilience. Boom, putting yourself there. That's what I'm talking about when we talk about those kind of things. So then if something were to happen, you're not sitting there scurrying about. Fear. So we get something like COVID. We get something like addiction. We get something that's like, I'm being asked to change. I'm being asked to do something different. I'm being asked to put out of my comfort zone. Fear. Two definitions for me. I'm not going to swear, but everything and run.
Yeah, exactly.
Or face everything and rise.
Yep.
We have a choice. So we can give our power away, or we can step into it and go, what's on the other side of this? Mm-hmm. But when addiction becomes our identity and we wear it like this, what happens when we take it off? Who are we?
Yeah. I mean, isn't this the cornerstone of maximum resilience? I mean, this is what you do. See, these are cornerstones. My friend Jean Houston calls them tipping points. You can call them whatever they want. But the bottom line is resilience not enough. You need to develop maximum resilience in today's world.
Yes.
You know, about, I'd say 10 years ago, I found a woman. Her name is Melanie Tanya Evans. She is now known as a narcissist abuse expert. She had no degree.
Wow.
She came out there, and I was doing some research for a friend of mine, and she came, and I ended up using her stuff on my friend, you know, to really say, oh, my friend's really like that. And one of the things she comes out and said, it was really hard until I put it into the recovery blueprint.
Yes.
She said no contact, and then she explains why. You see, addiction is narcissistic in nature.
Yes.
It has all of the characteristics and the seduction of a person that has narcissistic personality disorder.
Yes.
Addiction, somebody said to me, I thought it was seductive. No, it's narcissistic. Addiction has one thing in mind, to use you, to suck you up.
Gaslight you,
right?
It's not realistic. It gives you an altered sense of reality.
it's not empathetic. I mean, it's just, it has all of the characteristics of it. And you're absolutely, God, that's a good, that is a great depiction of what addiction is. Because when I was in my last rehab, they had you write a goodbye letter to your drug of choice. And I was like, you were my best friend. And I'm like, no, you weren't. Well, you weren't, right? What a false sense of reality that was.
Oh, my God.
You know?
But let's talk about this, though, from your perspective, because,
yes.
you know, this is the body of work you do every day.
Yes.
This is what you said earlier about expanding your website.
Yes.
Not because you have nothing better to do, because
no.
you see the need
yes.
to get help for people.
Yes.
What do you see as we look ahead? What do you see as you look out in the world and the people you're working with? What is their greatest challenge right now? I mean, you know, one of the things I've looked at, and I work with a lot of people, and I got a call from a woman that I sponsored in NA, and she reminded me of something that goes so far back. She said, Patty, do you remember the time I told you my user was showing up on my door, like every day? And I could never understand this, right? I know what I would do if I had my supplier show up on my door. This was her supplier, right? Show up on my door every day. I know what I would do. And I could never understand why this guy kept coming to her front door every day. And I said, well, what do you do when he comes? You know, I just tell him to go away, and it takes me 10. So I said, the next time I want you to have your phone, and I want you to dial the police. And if you have to open your door, don't open your door, but if you have to do it, hold up your phone and start talking to police and say, hey, Joe blah, 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 standing out here in front of my door, and he's trying to sell me drugs. And she said, do you remember telling me that? And I'm like, oh, my God, did I tell her that? Because that was, I don't know what part of me would tell her to do that, right? Because now I know the danger in it.
Yes.
But I was new.
Yep.
And she said, do you remember that, you know, telling me to do that? I said, yeah. She said, do you know what happened with that? I said, no. She said, I got blacklisted by every dealer in a 25-mile radius.
Perfect. Well,
that's
take
a
it.
Good thing.
Yes.
She said, yeah, you gave me such an interesting reputation that none of them called me.
Yep.
Immediately, every single one of them. Look, we have to make this stuff up as we go to help people.
You do.
What are the challenges you're facing? Tell me what you're seeing out there, and what did you have to change and adjust to help people better?
Well, my services, you know, started, my youngest client is 8 years old. My oldest client is 71, and that's the need. What I noticed during the pandemic is mental health didn't get any attention. And I was mortified with that. I kept waiting, and I kept saying, mental health is going to be our next pandemic. And it is. And I just noticed it, and it's linked with addiction. And I kept waiting to see that. And so on my website, my mission and purpose, you know, is to end the stigma around addiction and mental health, and to promote emotional wellness. And my mission, you know, is to heal myself, because if I'm not healing myself on a daily basis, how am I going to then help other people to heal myself and my clients in a way that's aligned with mindful service, embodied with that? So what I'm seeing is more adolescents, teenagers, and things coming, like you said, with parents with the cell phones, internet addiction, things like that, school shootings, and trauma from that with teachers. And the teachers, I have a lot of teachers now. I have a lot of critical care nurses that are having PTSD and trauma from COVID.
Oh, yeah.
And so they're getting more into addiction and self-medicating. A lot of couples with addiction issues and just needing more help in schools to help educate and support teachers, just all of it, Dr. Pat, all of it. It's just so what I want to do is just be able to go in and take people back in my story, and how I got into acceptance was a big one, and not denial of what, and taking accountability for every choice I made that led me to where I was, and then how I sustain it with healthy boundaries, and this and that. Listen, I was the black sheep in my family when I was in my addiction, and now I'm the black sheep sometimes in my family in my sobriety for setting healthy boundaries and doing the things that I'm doing, right?
Oh, my God. We should do a whole show on that because
I'd love
I'm
to.
Ready to have a conversation with somebody because I've noticed a consistent edge, and it is so uncharacteristic. And why do we notice it? Because we notice it in ourselves first. You see, you can't see something in somebody else. You can't. Look, if you see something in somebody else, you're looking in the mirror.
Mirror. Point one finger, there's two pointing back, right? Absolutely.
Oh,
and
my God.
And so there's just so much to be educating. And so I'm doing a lot of coaching around, you know, self-care and loving yourself is not selfish and how to take the first steps because it's much easier to point the blame outward than be like, let's take a look at how do you contribute to the problem by either your reaction or your inaction when the problem is occurring. And, you know, I said, you can get mad, you can do whatever. I don't personalize, but like, let's take a look at that because that's where your power lies with that so that you can, you know, factually respond to your life instead of emotionally react with whatever we're dealing with. And so that's what we're doing.
I got to tell you, this is one of many shows we're going to do together. We're just getting warmed up here, right?
I love it. So excited.
And you have a whole series we're going to be creating because there's one thing that Kelly and I know. We know that given our history, we have to help others. We have to. This is not something we can brush away.
Mm-hmm.
It's on our minds. It's in our community. Kelly, thank you so much. Last question. What is your personal message? What would you like to leave everybody with today?
We do recover. We do. And it is possible. And any way that Dr. Pat and I can support you, especially how I can support you, I'm here, and our team is here. We're going to be spreading this message. It is my life's work, and it's an honor and privilege to do it, and I'm so passionate about it. And to have this opportunity is just mind-blowing. So I'm so excited. That's the message I want to leave.
I love it. Thank you, Kelly. Thank you so much. It's going to be so great. I want to thank Daniel for doing what he does so best, but
thank
I want
you,
to
Dan.
Talk to all of you for a second. I get asked all the time, why, after 20 years, do I keep doing this, and does it ever get tiring? And the answer is Kelly Bazzani is why, and the people like Kelly, because we have made a commitment and dedication to help all of you. Please let us know if you want us to take on a particular recovery topic and send it to us. And Daniel has this right up on the screen. We'll let you know. We'll get it covered. We're here for you. Kelly, thank you. Daniel, thank you. We'll see you next time.
Thank you for listening to Maximum Resilience.
Views expressed on this program are those of the host, guests, and callers, and do not necessarily reflect the views of the station, its management, or advertisers. You're listening.